From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March 4th in the year of our Lord, 2020. Promoting God, family, and country, protecting life, liberty, and property. That's what we do best. We've been at it 25 years, and hopefully we got another 25 left in us, huh? Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. I want to start out with our favorite anarchist, Becky Akers, by welcoming her to Liberty Roundtable Live. First off, welcome, ma'am.
Thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege.
Ladies and gentlemen, Becky Akers, author of two novels, Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale, incredible book, and Abducting Arnold, the other side of the Benedict Arnold story you may not know about. Revolutionary new novels, buy them before they're banned today. Anyway, I call Becky our favorite anarchist because she is an anarchist. And you know what? It's not the anarchy you think of. She's not just running around in the streets destroying everything like you think of the term anarchist. She's an anarchist in the sense that she doesn't believe any central government has any value. And sadly, when you see government all around you, it's very hard to disagree with her point. And I got a buddy who's a libertarian. And he kind of borders on libertarianism and anarchy. And I say that because he believes in a lot of libertarian principles, but he's kind of, you know, I said, well, what's the difference between a libertarian and an anarchist? He goes, oh, a couple of election cycles. What do you think of his point, Becky?
I've heard that one before.
And the joke is when you see how just dishonest and immoral and manipulative the elections are, then it drives you into anarchy because you go, even this doesn't work.
That's right. And just the utter corruption in politics, the incapacity after how many thousands of years of political government, its incapacity to deliver on its promises to keep the peace. I mean, one of the trademarks of the state is it is constantly at war. And in the United States, if there isn't an external enemy to fight, which there always has been, we've only been at peace something like 12 out of our 260 years of history. Even so, the government, you'd think that would keep them busy enough, but no, they make up internal enemies to fight too. The drug war, the war on immigrants, the war on poverty, which is really a war on people with wealth. Sam.
And now they've even got a war on free speech.
Yeah.
I bring this all up, though, because, you know, the elections, Super Tuesday was yesterday, and Joe Biden was in the doghouse, but now he's a rock star, and boy, howdy, did the elections bless old Joe. Grandpa creepy, whacked out, pervert, psychotic Joe is now top of the stack for the Democrats, socialists, and communists, Becky.
I'll tell you what, I saw this morning in the Atlantic Monthly that it said something about the Democrats started out with the most diverse lineup of candidates, and now it's down to two white male septuagenarians. And I actually had a split second of pity for poor Bernie, because I thought, how would you like to be a lifelong Marxist and crank and have that as the dismissing comment on your political career? You are just, you've been out there all your life championing group think and collectivism, and now you are being dismissed as an old white male. So I just thought that was just, and you know what really astounds me, Sam? It's the same thing with people who are statists, not necessarily Marxists, but this is not, you know, you'd think that the state's evil is so overwhelming, nobody could like it. And the same thing with Marxism. This is not new. I mean, Marxists are known for eating their own. And why anybody wants to ascribe to this philosophy when this is how you wind up, one of the progressive publications poking fun at you because of characteristics you can't help. I mean, this is normal. This is how Marxists are. How do they make inroads on gullible Americans and persuade Americans to follow them? I have no idea.
I only have one answer to your question. I would say this. Socialism is to Marxism is the way they pitch it in America. As long as they can put the soft pedal of their agenda forward and make you feel like, Becky, we want to make sure you're not dominated by all these evil males. We want to give you power, Becky. So you appeal to the women. Hey, you know what? Gays and lesbians, we want to appeal to you. We're not just for the tried, time-tested, God-ordained relationships. We want to have pervert relationships superior to the God kind. And then they get that crowded. And what they do is they just, you know, pass out candy to everyone who will listen. And no one realizes till it's too late about the sinister side of the agenda. It's all just peaches and cream. It's all, hey, we're going to work together to just stop the bad, evil, white, male, bad guy that wants, you know, believe in God guy that wants to just ruin your life and lord over you. And so it's in that deception and that manipulation, the media all too willing to carry the ball. But it's because people don't understand the truth of what's really going on, right?
Well, you know, Sam, that's like saying, I want to text and drive. I really don't know the truth that if I draw a text while I'm driving, I'm probably going to wind up dead. It's like, come on. Now, this is, that's the level of what we're talking about. It's not as though communism hides its crime.
Well, you're right. You're right, but they teach this in government school from the cradle, Becky.
Well, even so, there are marvelous books. I just happened to watch Voice of the Martyrs film on Richard Rembrandt and his wife Sabina. There's a movie out there called Torture for Christ. I strongly urge everyone hearing me to get a copy and watch it. It will show you firsthand the horrors of communism and how it tortures inoffensive, innocent people. There is a scene in which a communist guard says to Mr. Rembrandt as he is torturing him, I love communism because it lets me let out all my evil. And then he whacks him again. I mean, this is what communism is. And I'm losing sympathy for this argument that, well, people are just ignorant. It's like, no, no, come on. You can't go to court and claim you didn't know your texting while you were driving was going to kill somebody. Okay, it's no longer permissible. This is the same level of ignorance.
It's well, your point's well taken, and I agree. I just tell you that I am super shocked. Bernie Sanders, the most extreme candidate in the race. I mean, he literally loves communism and socialism. He's been a socialist his whole life. What he spent his honeymoon in the communist, you know. Okay, and this guy literally in the most conservative state of the union is Utah, probably.
Right.
Literally, he won. Let me give you the headline to kind of highlight this appropriately. Record-breaking turnout. Sanders decisively wins Utah. 5,000 plus attend a rally to support Bernie. It's insanity.
Yes, it is. Remember, there's a verse in the Old Testament how when a nation rebels against the Lord, he will send a lie and delusion to them that they'll believe.
And that's exactly what's happening. In my opinion, because I believe that these people really knew the truth about what's going on and their minds weren't clouded. If they turned to God for guidance and they had clear minds and okay, they would reject this so fast your head would spin. But they've literally doubled down and embraced the evil. It's insanity.
Yes. And Sam, it's not even a question of biblical morality. I mean, it is on every level, but I'm saying you can set that aside. You don't have to believe in God or the Bible to say, you know what? Communism historically has always, always, without exception, resulted in genocide, torture, abrogation of rights, impoverishment of everyone except the top level of political official. I mean, this is self-evident in history. You can educate yourself. You can find out what Marxism is all about. And to go out then and spew this hateful, satanic philosophy and say to the people around you, I want you to be tortured. I want to kill you. I want the government torturing you. I want the government snatching you off the street and you disappear and nobody ever hears from
you. But don't worry, I'll give you a TV before I do that.
And I want my student loans forgiven, and I want your money, and the government is going to do that if I vote for Marxists. It's going to steal your money from you and give it to me. Or at least that's what they're telling me. Somehow it doesn't ever work out that way.
It never works out that way, but the propaganda peddled I mean, it's like socialist porn almost to the people, it seems. Kurt, I want you to talk about this free speech issue with Gab a little bit more with Becky, because I think it's right up her alley. Federal funds used to research hate speech on Gab. So Gab is an alternative to Twitter. Most of those folks who have been shut down on Twitter have moved to Gab, but now they say it's just a safe haven for the white supremacists spewing hate everywhere, Kurt.
Well, I don't know what else to add about it, except that, you know, your federal government is spending tax dollars on it. Not that I can see.
How come Donald doesn't shut that down, buddy? How come Donald doesn't say you're insane? We're cutting that right now.
Even he probably has a limit to what he can get done, you know?
Anyway, there you have it. Now they're researching hate speech on Gab. Pretty soon Gab now is kind of saying, well, we're for free speech for all, but a little more for some than others because the others are bad apples ruining it for everybody is the lie and the trap they're falling into, Becky.
Well, this entire hate speech category should send Americans into the street prepared for rebellion. The fact that the government is even concerned with any type of speech is frightening, okay? But we have allowed it to get so far, and we, you know, people refused to stand up when this all first started, and it's following the classic syndrome of any government program. We start with the people that are really hated, the pornographers and the racists, and we talk about how they need to be restrained in their speech, and it spreads from there.
Hang tight. Quick pause. Becky Akers in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. How many people take on these topics like we do, huh? Just wondering.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, Becky Akers, our guest. Federal funds used to research hate speech on Gab. I'm very concerned about this, folks. Now listen, I know somebody gets on there and says, I hate black people. I wish that all go straight to H-E double toothpicks. You know, that's a bad statement that I disagree with, but I, you know what? I will defend somebody's right to say and think that if they believe that. What if somebody says, I hate all blind people? Blind people are evil. They're horrible. They're incompetent. They're not even capable. They're problematic. Okay. I think everybody has a right to say that, too. Do I like it? No. Will I use my influence to advocate against it? Of course. Will I try to educate people patiently, kindly to my point of view without a doubt? Okay, but we need to intelligently think through this, folks. Pretty soon, what speech will be considered hate speech? Right now, I think Bernie's speech of promoting socialism in America and communism, when he's sworn an oath to the supreme law of the land as a senator, constitutionally speaking, okay, I think that's hate speech. And I completely disagree with that agenda. But I'm not going to go against his hate speech. I'm going to say he has every right to think and say it if he wants to. If he doesn't show fidelity to the Constitution, we ought to do something about that, like not elect him, but that's a different discussion. But I bring this up because we need to understand the principle here, Becky.
Yes. We need to understand the principle that government is always out to stifle dissent. Government wants all the power. One of the things it cannot allow is free-thinking people who make their own decisions and arrive at their own conclusions. This muffling of speech, and by the way, this meets Thomas Jefferson's definition of tyranny when he said that no one should ever be required to finance a policy with which they disagree. So in other words, any taxes used for this are being taken away from people and used against them to fund research, quote, into our speech. I mean, this is absolutely terrifying, and it should have been terrifying when it all first started, okay?
Yeah, in other words, back on Twitter when people started getting kicked off and everything else, that should have started this discussion, but everybody just moved to Gab and went, oh, well, now it's Gab. What will be next?
Yes, and when are we going to stand up against the tyrannical government that polices our speech? I mean, this is like something out of the Eastern Bloc of Europe under communist domination. This is what China does to its subjects. We are very rapidly becoming subjects instead of citizens, and that, too, ought to terrify everyone.
Well, I've been standing up against it for a long time, but your point's well taken. When are the American people going to join forces? They're too busy voting for socialist Bernie.
And preoccupying themselves with celebrity gossip and paying attention to things that don't matter, like the coronavirus. Let me just go on record, and I'm sure you've mentioned this, Sam. Our bigger threat than the virus is the government and its reaction to it. And the attempt by the CDC and public health officials, in all in quotes there, public health officials to start lording it over us and to declare quarantine and to keep us at home where they want us and restrict our travel and get us used to martial law, far greater threat than any virus with a very, very small fatality rate.
Yeah, for example, New York just banned plastic bags, right, Kurt?
Well, that's right. Now they've got the headline from Breitbart says New York bans plastic bags, threatens $500 fines. I guess this is starting the 1st of March, so it's already in progress. They say the state's ban, which was passed last year by the state legislature, will impact both grocery and department stores. I guess, Sam, you got a new job. You can go out there and, you know, fine people for having a plastic bag. They say instead of receiving a plastic bag at the checkout counter, customers will have to provide their own reusable bags or take a paper bag from the store with a 5-cent tax. You got to have a tax. Customers using food stamps will be exempt from the bag tax.
Sounds insane, right? But it's true, right, Becky?
It is true, and let me add the fact that in Manhattan and all of New York City, people typically walk several blocks to get groceries, okay? Grocery stores are scattered every couple of blocks, except, of course, in the underserved areas that are poor and black, or at least that's the propaganda we're always fed. But my point is that people typically walk to get their groceries and then carry them home by hand. All right. We do have delivery. You can get groceries delivered, but elderly people especially like to walk to get their groceries and carry them home. Now, imagine doing that without a plastic bag. And imagine that you are a widow on Social Security and subsisting on the crumbs the government hands you because you're a Marxist and you have voted for that all your life being in Manhattan. But still, you are arthritic and you are trying to clutch your groceries because you don't have a spare nickel to buy a bag, and it's now we're 3 years into the ban and you are completely out of plastic bags and you haven't got the money to go buy a reusable bag, and now you are trying to get a bag of carrots and margarine a tub of margarine home to your apartment three blocks from the store. I mean, can you understand the absolute heartlessness of these people? And, of course, this ban has been sold as an attempt to save the environment. Well, actually, plastic bags, plastic wrap, even if we throw in all kinds of that filmy plastic that shopping bags are made out of, if we take all of that together and all its various guises such as saran wrap and other thin plastics, that accounts for less than 1% of the, quote, waste stream, okay? And here we have government trying to ballyhoo that into some huge, big environmental threat. And what is it doing? It is now taxing people on yet another item, paper bags, and that money is going to go to the state, okay? Everybody is thinking that that's money that the supermarkets make. No, 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 no. That's going directly to the Environmental Control Board of New York State. Okay.
I mean, absolutely insane. I don't want to just pick on your state, though. I want to have a contest.
No, this is going through in other states, too, Sam. Hawaii and California already have this. And I would urge everybody, there's a website that keeps track of this. I'm sorry, I don't recall the name offhand, but you can get on and find out if your locality is going into this totalitarian agenda. So if it is, I urge you to get out there and fight it.
Amen to that. Now, I don't know. We're going to have a battle of the states on the radio, okay? Which one's more socialist, Utah or New York? And I know in the old days people would say, Sam, it's a no-brainer, man. Utah's conservative. New York's just off the charts. Well, yeah, but we're the big vote for Bernie state, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, did New York go for Bernie? Oh, they haven't had their deal yet, have they?
I'm sure they will, though.
Yeah, they will.
Remember, this is the home of AOC. I can't even.
Yeah,
I don't
but Utah's ahead of New York because we've already done it. Now, there's a middle school story out of Utah that Kurt wants to highlight really quick. Which is worse, the plastic bag problem in New York or this problem in Utah middle school, Kurt?
Well, let me just give a tiny footnote on this bag story, though, real quick. New York's Department of Environmental Conservation, one of the different bureaucratic institutions they have there, I guess, said that if you have a small purchase, such as a magazine, candy, or drink, you can help our environment by saying no thank you to a single-use paper bag and carrying the item instead. You know, like Becky Aker said, just carry your margarine or whatever it is. They say that the Breitbart piece says those who do not comply with the bag, no choice here, with the bag ban, face a first-time fine of $250 and fines up to $500 for repeated infractions. But they say the state will not start issuing penalties until April, according to the Associated Press. They say there are, however, some exemptions to the ban: bags for food takeout, prescription drugs, garment bags, newspapers, and bags for non-packaged meat and fish will still be plastic. So anyway, there's still a little hope in
glad
New York,
for all the, those exceptions there now. The problem is they just know that if they shove tyranny too hard, people will reject it. So what they're trying to do is just push tyranny as hard as they can, but soft enough with enough exceptions to where people just don't completely melt down. These are the people, remember, that tried to, well, this is New York City, I guess, but they tried to say you couldn't even have big soft drinks anymore either. That's the guy Bloomberg, the guy in the audience in a Fox town hall basically said, hey, Mike. Mini Mike, how come you, are so against me having a gun to protect myself, but you run around with your big old security team protecting you? Is your life better than mine or more important than mine? Or is your family, more in need of protection than mine? And basically Bloomberg said, look, I'm a rich guy and I'm running for president. And hey, I got all kinds of threats against me. It's justified in my case, just not in yours. And then Fox, the socialist communist news network that it is, they literally cut off the exchange so they could defend Bloomberg and went to commercial break in the middle of it. It's insanity. But Kurt will come back and tell you about this government school in Utah. It's a middle school in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. report, we are very much alive!
Super Tuesday proving to be a super day for former Vice President Joe Biden and his campaign to win the Democratic presidential nomination.
And make no mistake about it, this campaign will send Donald Trump packing.
Biden declared the winner in the Texas Democratic primary and eight other states, Texas being the second biggest prize in the Super Tuesday primaries with 228 delegates. The biggest primary of the day was California with 415 delegates. Senator Bernie Sanders appears to have won there. He's also the projected winner in three other states. The clear results still pending in Maine, where the race between Biden and Sanders has been too close to call. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation of world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Pay for it. Responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Rootwall.com.
More now on Super Tuesday balloting. The former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is appearing on ballots for the first time. But he's looking ahead to the Florida primary in 2 weeks, holding a rally on Tuesday evening in West Palm Beach. He was introduced by TV celebrity judge Judy Scheindlin, who took a shot at Senator Bernie Sanders.
This is the greatest country in the world. Yes! It doesn't need a revolution.
Meanwhile, NBC is reporting that Bloomberg is going to make a decision on the fate of his campaign tomorrow. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee confirming at least 25 people are dead from tornadoes that tore across his state early Tuesday morning. Despite the tragic loss of life, Lee says he's proud of the response from officials as well as everyday people. The powerful storms moved through the Nashville area early this morning when most folks were sleeping. And this is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Sadly, in America, I think it's a race to see which state can be the most tyrannical. So New York and other states trying to ban plastic bags or charge you a nickel for them. They've been doing that in the socialist state of California for quite some time. But anyway, it hit New York. But Utah's taking the cake, Kurt.
Well, very good, Sam. In this story from Utah, you got headline reads, Utah middle school policy forbids children from refusing to dance. So what you got is an 11-year-old girl, Alicia Hobson. She didn't really want to dance with this boy that asked her to dance at the Valentine's Day dance. So the principal stepped in and she had politely declined the offer to dance, and the principal stepped in and says he pretty much shooed her onto the dance floor with the boy.
Now, don't they use forcing people to dance as kind of a method of torture, Kurt?
Well, it seems like she was distressed and hated every minute, they say. Anyway, the bottom line is the... her mother says, this is what they sent a letter to her mother and says, we do ask all students to dance. It's a nice thing to do, and this will continue to be our policy. The mother's pretty ticked off about it. She criticized the decision, said no means no. I guess the boy had been quoted as publicly saying something very disturbing of a sexual nature and defending her daughter's body autonomy. And her mother, the mother said she has the right to say no to anyone for any reason or no reason. Her body is her body, and she doesn't want to dance with someone. That's her prerogative. And I would just have to say I agree with her. I guess they say at the bottom of the story says, having failed to draw an acceptable response from the principal, she plans to take her complaint to the Utah Board of Education. Quote, I've told her over and over since her school started having dances that she has the right to say no, and if she gets in trouble for it, I'll fight like H-E double toothpicks for her. Well, here we go, she says. So the mom's in action there, Sam.
What do you think of this, Becky? I mean, they literally in government school in Utah, you're compelled to go to government school in the first place. It's a flat out, it's a straight out of the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto to compel compulsory education. And then when you get there, they're going to force you to dance now. I mean, these people are off their rockers crazy.
They are indeed crazy, but let me say that like Marxism as a whole, the horrors of public school are out there for anyone to see. It's not like this is all hidden. It's not as though we don't see reports on this and similar atrocities in the newspaper. It's not as though your kids are getting an education. They're being indoctrinated. So I'm sorry, but I think the fault lies with the parent.
No question.
A mother who cares about her daughter is entrusting her to the barbarians and Marxists that run the public school system.
No question. It is insanity.
Absolutely. But the public school system is nothing but insanity. Okay? They are filling kids' heads with the idea that we descended from amoebas. Okay? And they are refusing to divulge the truth that there is a God, that there is a creator, and that we are responsible to him. And then we wonder why suicide rates of young people who sit through 15 years of this crap, we wonder why their suicide rates are through the roof. Okay? They are telling kids that the only responsible answer to all problems in life is more government. All right? How do we expect to educate and to raise free people when this is what they hear constantly? We've all seen those charts about the millennial belief in socialism. Where do you all think it comes from? If you are sending your kids to a public school and expecting them to love the Lord and expecting them to grow up and understand about freedom, you are more delusional than Bernie Sanders.
I amen to that. It's insanity to me at every single level. One, on the government level, two, on the school level, on the parent level, on the societal level. No one has any outrage. They're just like, oh, man, you know, dancing's good for your social skills. Yeah, you bunch of socialists. What about agency and freedom to choose, folks? Okay, what about this rejection of tyranny and compelling people to do things? I mean, it's out of control, Kurt.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Sam.
Yeah, other than that, it's not so bad, huh, Kurt?
Good point. Yeah.
All right. Anything else on this one? I mean, I just look at it. What's worse, to ban plastic bags and straws or to literally force your kid to dance in a government school institution? It's just wow. Now, I'm against the coronavirus. It's a sad tale to tell, although I don't think governments need to be in the middle of it. Right. But the reason I'm bringing this up is there are some good news pieces coming out of the coronavirus. Now, I would never wish this on anybody or anything, meaning the coronavirus. And I'm not saying that I, you know, am okay with it or whatever. I'm just saying there is some good coming out of it, though. If you reject forced government school around the world because you're convinced, like me, that it's one of the planks of a communist tyrannical manifesto, so you reject it, then you're going to have to agree with me a little bit. Homeschooling to the rescue, Kurt.
Well, exactly, Sam, and, you know, that's what's going on now. They, I think more and more folks are going to look at that, Sam. I mean, as an option, at least it's certainly something that can happen. WorldNet Daily's got a piece on it, and as you said, homeschooling to the rescue as coronavirus closes schools. also virtual institutions, online courses, and micro schools. You know, these are all options, kind of like we talked about the whole Zoom thing. By the way, Sam, Zoom, it was a serial, it still is a serial, just so you know. But that's where I mentioned the, I used to have a buddy that'd buy a whole bunch of Zoom. But anyway, WorldNet Daily's got this piece basically saying that, I guess you've got even Wall Street Journal now says a whole city is going to try homeschooling. In Hong Kong, they say thousands of students are learning online while schools are closed. Often they say in small apartments where parents are also working. They say in Hong Kong, the home of schools that are the envy of high-achieving and aspirational parents everywhere, education is making a huge shift, they say, to the dining room. Ooh, you know,
I like
they
that.
Say, concerns
home school
about...
to the rescue, Becky.
Yes, absolutely. But again, it's sad that parents who claim to love their children need a threat like, you know, my kid is going to get sick and die before they'll wake up and realize that public school is toxic to children.
Well, before you sick and die, at least you can be forced to dance your way out of this world. Dance your way stage left, baby.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just insane. All right. They also say virtual institutions, online schools, and then micro schools. I kind of like how there's more and more and more options, at least. That, to me, is kind of a happy day, too. Some of them are better than others, as y'all know. But I'm just saying, at least there's some competition and some choice and some options. And I'm just a homeschool private school guy. I've never put my kids in government school. Never will. And I've single-handedly saved the taxpayers literally millions of dollars, folks. So there you go. By the way, Italy is taking some action, too, Kurt. Maybe they'll have to start homeschooling up there in Italy, too, huh? All right, we'll try to get Kurt back. Meantime, Italy, I guess, Becky, is closing all schools and universities because of the coronavirus. All of them.
Okay.
The whole country. I mean, I'm not for the coronavirus, but it doesn't get better than that, closing all the government schools down, every single one of them. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yes. Let's hope it does the same thing here. And again, Kurt, I'm sorry. Again, Sam.
Yeah, we're still trying to get Kurt back, so.
Really? I read the fatality rates in the newspaper. 3,000 people sick in India and 93 deaths. And I'm thinking, aren't there billions of people in India? And we're running in fear from a virus that's killed 93 of them. I mean, and I don't mean that in any way. You know, obviously every death is tragic, but I'm just the panic, the absolute panic of a virus that doesn't.
By the way, according to the CIA fact book, there's 1.28 billion people in India.
Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of making up those figures on the deaths. I don't know, but I'm just saying. I hear about these countries. You know, China has 1.4 billion, and they've had how many deaths now? And it's like 0.00001% of the population. And I'm thinking, what would we do if there were an actual threat like smallpox that killed a third of all victims?
Or like the flu in 1918.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, quick pause. Sam, Becky, and I'll be working to get Kurt back after the pause, okay?
I'm here now.
Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So I agree the coronavirus is sad, but there is good news. Italy closes all schools and universities over this thing. I hope more and more and more government schools close over this, Kurt. All right. Donald Trump donates entire quarterly salary to combat the coronavirus. He normally gets $400,000 a year. He's never taken a penny of it, and he's giving $100,000 to the coronavirus problem. Becky, what do you say to that?
Well, I'd like to know if this is another government agency he's giving his money to, such as the CDC, which is one of the most evil government agencies out there. And if you doubt my analysis, you simply get on their website and look at the way that they promote sodomy, the way that they promote all kinds of anti-biblical behavior. It's just frightening. So my first question would be, is he donating that money to the CDC or some other government agency that will then squander and waste it, or even worse, use it to actively harm us? Or is he giving it to a private organization that is going to try to deal with survivors and that sort of thing?
All right. We'll research that and find that out. But I found that interesting. You know, you could say it's a token amount for a very wealthy man like he is. But I will say this. I have seen no other politician in my lifetime dedicate their salaries over and over and over to causes they believe in. So I agree it would be better if it wasn't a government institution. But nevertheless, it is at least to some degree better than the standard, you know, fare, which is just continue to take the government money and do nothing good or, you know, have no benevolence about you. He is doing this from his own free will and choice. So anyway, I find that interesting to say the least, and it's a start.
Yes, and Sam, if I may make a point too, allied to yours, it does prove that Trump is not a Marxist, okay? If you've ever looked at the true Marxists out there, such as Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, who's more a fascist than a Marxist, but it is the same idea, you know, all power to government, these people have very small to nothing contributions to charity. Their big drive in life is to amass wealth, and they think the way to do that is to take wealth from us, and it works, so that's obviously one way to get wealthy. But you look at any of these people, and the Marxists do not give away their money. So I would say that this is a fine proof that Trump is not a Marxist.
Well, I think to many degrees he is a fascist and a Marxist. He's better than most, but he still touts that line often. If you don't believe me, just look at the farm subsidies he's been stealing my family money for.
Yes,
for quite a while.
He should have qualified that. I should say he doesn't believe in Marxism, but I think a lot of his policies that are Marxist, he's just ignorant. And I say that after having earlier said there's no more excuse for ignorance. But, there, you know, Sam, there are a great many American policies that the most anti-Marxist person.
All right, so sorry to interrupt. He sent his money to the Department of Health and Human Services.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
he's sending it to another government, another unconstitutional government agency.
And that's who he's giving the money to?
Yes.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm getting at. You know, it's lovely that he's generous. And I agree with you. I've never heard of another politician doing something like that other than George Washington. So Trump is in very good company. But, you know, to go and give the money to another government agency so that it can lord it over us. I mean, why anyone does this? And by the way, could I also put in a plug for exempting people from taxes? For instance, our anger over the welfare queens that are being exempted from the 5-cent tax for paper bags in New York should be directed at the fact that they're all sponging off of us, not at the fact that they are being exempted from a tax, because all taxes do are enable the government to make more war on each of us. Likewise, when we hear about a, quote, tax cheat in the newspaper, I'm thrilled. It's like, thank you. Let's make that guy a public benefactor. He kept cops from buying bullets that would have wound up in some of us. He kept the army from buying bullets that would have wound up in people who've never harmed us. I mean, tax cheats, quote, are huge benefactors. We should be lauding them, and we should be aspiring to join their number.
There's no doubt we need less money in the hands of government, more money in the hands of the American people. That's a fact. All right, Kurt, are you back, buddy?
Yeah.
All right, any final comments here? We've been talking about this Italy and schools, and then we've been talking a little bit about Donald Trump donates his quarterly salary. It's good that he donated it, but he put it into another unconstitutional government agency is the bad part.
Yeah, good point. I mean, at least giving him the benefit of the doubt, when did you ever see any president in our lifetime that I can remember?
Yeah, we mentioned that.
Ever do that.
And he's doing it from his own free will and choice.
Suggested that he would do it. Yeah, that's right. But, you know, anyway.
In fact, Ron Paul didn't even go as far. Ron Paul reduced his salary to about 10% or said he'd take 10% of what it was, leave 90%. But Donald went all the way, right?
Right.
So Donald even did better than Rand Paul in that sense, but I don't think Rand Paul would have given part of his money to other government unconstitutional agencies. But nevertheless, both of them, through their own free will and choice, are doing better than most of what I've heard from politicians my whole lifetime. It is true for sure. Now, Fed claims emergency, Becky, because of the coronavirus, and cuts benchmark interest rate 0.5 point. It's the most since 2008. So now they're literally using the coronavirus, as you mentioned, and I'm not saying that, hey, that it's nothing, but I am saying when you look at it, I mean, the flu's worse by far right now, at least. I know the potential threat they claim by scientists is really disastrous, but we haven't seen it yet. But they're literally using this now to manipulate our currency even more.
As if they need an excuse. That's what really astounds me. The Fed is always manipulating our currency.
I know, but they just look for more excuses to get even more extreme about it than ever, and eventually they're going to run out of mojo.
Why is it even bothering at this point? It's very clear that the American people do not care. You know, the American people are happy to have government controlling their money and controlling their wealth, which pretty much is the power of life and death over us. And yet, there's no rioting in the street. There's no, you know, the government, the Constitution never, ever imparts this kind of authority to the central government. Americans are completely unaware of that, and worse, they don't care.
You want to respond to this one, Kurt?
Kind of wonder what else to add. It's truly amazing to find us where we are.
Well, focus a little bit on this. They're going to run out of mojo, Kurt. They only have so many levers they can push and pull and play games with, and eventually they run out of room to wiggle.
Well, I mean, they could start paying us to take money. I mean, we still haven't seen that quite yet.
Yeah, but at some point, the confidence game's going to melt down, and once everybody loses confidences, buddy, it's a flight to the precious metal and a flight to barter and a flight to meltdown. The con is over once that happens.
Just like, for example, the coronavirus gives us a great opportunity to embrace homeschooling and remote meetings and all that kind of stuff. I think this also, with the Federal Reserve thing, gives the president a great opportunity to say, look, man, I was just browsing through my Constitution, and it says right here in Article 1, Section 10, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. And I found out right here in Washington, D.C., we have a mint here, and we're making these things called silver dollars that say $1 right on them. Apparently, we've been off track on this thing, and so let's make America great again, huh? Maybe that'll happen real quick.
Any response to that, Becky?
Great joke, Kurt. Thank you. Best laugh I've had today.
You know, I'm just saying, I don't even know how to respond to some of the things I'm seeing in our society. It's getting so bad. When the most conservative state in the union literally doubles down and backs Sanders, it's shocking. Now you say, well, that's only a sliver of the state, Sam. Most of them back Trump. Trump won in a Utah, landslide on the Republican side of the primary, Kurt, basically?
Well, I didn't even check. I just know that that was, I'm sure, a foregone conclusion.
You're supposed to celebrate that, Kurt.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, if my choice is the president or, Biden or Bernie, then, it's a pretty easy choice. And that's what we're given, pretty much. And that's why I sell the President Trump flags and the Make America Great Again hats, because I've just never seen a president in my lifetime do the good things he's done. Now, I'm not telling you he's perfect, because, in my opinion, he's far from that. But compared to the standard politician that we've seen, yeah.
You want to respond to that, Becky?
I pretty much agree with Kurt. Trump is... he's becoming a politician, but I think he entered office with a very great advantage over the professional politicians in that he didn't have all that political experience. And so, therefore, he was not as venal and not as greedy and not as tyrannical as the standard politician. If I voted, I don't. I have no faith in the system. But if I voted, I would probably vote for him, especially if the choice is between him and Sanders. I think it is imperative to keep outright Marxists away. I mean, they need to be locked up like mad dogs that they are. And I like Trump as a human being and as a man. I think he's a great guy. From the little I know about him, I should preface all that by saying I don't watch television. I don't read newspapers. Most of the news I get is off the internet at selected sites that I feel more confident are telling the truth than the Associated Press. So it's not like I'm an expert in Trump. The little bit I know about him, I often disagree with his policies, but he seems like a well-intentioned person to me. And I love his sense of humor. I just laugh every time I read one of his tweets. And I can't say Pocahontas without laughing, because I remember how he called Elizabeth Warren the fanatical liar, Pocahontas. I mean, in one word, he can just devastate his opponents. And I love that about him. I really like the way he calls the politicians out there what they are and shows them to be greedy totalitarians.
Yeah, just a little, and I agree with you, it's pretty entertaining, at least. In Utah, he came in at 91.2% of the Republican primary vote.
Yeah, I called that a landslide.
274,000 votes, yeah. That's right. Bill Weld got 6.6%, and Joe Walz got 2.2%. So I would say he's pretty much on the road to victory.
You think it's going to be a landslide, Kurt?
I'm pretty sure he's going to win Utah, yeah. I'd say that. And I think he's going to win the presidential one.
What do you think is going to happen in the presidential nationwide, Becky?
Why do I keep calling Kurt? Sam, I am always reluctant to make forecasts. My interest is political philosophy, not the day-to-day political slugfest that when most people say politics, that's what they mean. I don't like the political slugfest. I think it's just a competition among liars and thieves. I don't think
that it is. We're out of time. Get Becky's books, ladies and gentlemen. Hailstorm and Abducting Arnold.